You're listening to Kingston's only campus community radio station, broadcasting 24/7, 365 on 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. Tune in for the best local programming.
It is 6 o'clock and you are tuned to CFRC 101.9 FM. And we're broadcasting from Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. Ani Nichkimek, Doug Farquhar, Dishnikos, Minwa, Sean Story, Esna Minwa, and Ishnabi Newewin. Here we go, Sean. It's Aboriginal Voices, and we're all set for another beautiful month, February.
Mm-hmm.
You ready for it?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to like the end of the month, I promise you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. Like the end of the month. Yeah. Anyways, carry on, Doug.
All right. You and I have been talking, and we've had some, you know, historical tracks project that we did in 2025, and people really liked it. And we've been asked by several people to keep going, keep doing things like that. So you have a new series ready to go for today.
I wouldn't say it's me.
Well, you and I talked about, our planning and so on, but here we go. It's, I think it's called Echoes of the Grand, the Six Nations.
Echoes of the Grand, yeah. So we're going to be traveling from or to the heart of Southern Ontario, and it seems that the Six Nations of the Grand River is the most populous First Nations in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Most populous, most popular, I don't know.
Oh, depends. Probably both, but populous, so, you know, meaning the population.
What I thought would be, cool is if we explore the musical lineage that spans from rock and roll's Hall of Fame to the gritty blues of the local roadhouses there at Six Nations.
Right. Yeah, and those roadhouses, a lot of those people have gone on to work and play in roadhouses all over North America.
Yeah, you got your Robbie Robertson, your Poppy John's band, Murray Porter, Derek Miller, and I guess the new guy is Logan Stotts.
Mm-hmm. And Sean, you know, it's interesting because one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to do the segment that called the Golden Icon, Robbie Robertson. And so we're going to begin with him. And he took the sounds of the Grand River to the world stage. And, you know, you're right to the point out that Mach Chi, we've played it a number of times over the years, right? It was the showcase for the trio Ulali. And Robbie's true Six Nations sound that he brought into it is perhaps, you know, sort of the best heard on his track Stomp Dance. And you introduced Stomp Dance to me, and I think, was it Sadie Buck who's in that?
Yeah, Sadie Buck, and the only reason I mention this one is because Sadie Buck is an incredible singer. She sings from, like, her entire body, her ankles on up. And she was, we listened to the track before, but then she was featured in the Olympics there, the Salt Lake City Olympics. And you could tell, like, I don't even know that she needed a microphone. That's how incredibly loud and responsive she was.
So if people are interested, they could go and search for Sadie Buck and Stomp Dance, Utah.
Salt Lake City, I think, Olympics.
Oh, okay.
Opening or closing.
Before we play that song, just a little historical fact. Do you want that? Sure. In the early 1990s, that's when we actually got involved with Robbie Robertson here at Aboriginal Voices. Robbie went back to his roots and to the music of the Native Americans. Then he had a whole CD that he brought out related to that. But he doesn't just feature local sounds. He sort of invited the Six Nations women singers to join him. And he often spoke about how his Mohawk mother, Rosemary Dolly Chrysler, told him, quote, "Be proud of your heritage, but keep it to yourself." A reflection of the era's tensions. The song that's going to come up was his way of finally bringing it all back home. Here's Stop Dancing.
And so that was a Stomp Dance. That was Sadie Buck and the Six Nations Women Singers. Awesome. You can't talk about the Six Nations music without the Elders of the Groove. And before they were the Poppy John's Band, they were in the Barn. They were the Bar Road Band, formed in 78.
Wow, 1978. That was Poppy John's.
Apparently. Oh. And so they became a legendary house band for APTN's Buffalo Tracks.
Oh.
Which I didn't know.
Oh, is that
right? I remember, back in the day, I remember Buffalo Tracks, the show. It was produced by Gary Farmer. And they had several different hosts throughout the tenure of the program. And I remember Derek Miller and the Chicken Shack Ramblers were the group, were the house band for the show. So they were, we're not talking about him yet. We're talking about the Poppy John's Band. And they were the bridge between the old school social songs and the electric blues. In 2002, they swept the Canadian Aboriginal Music Awards, proving that res-made blues could stand up against anything coming out of Chicago or Memphis.
Oh, wow.
So Blame It on Monday is coming up.
Thank you.
Okay. Sean, you know, that's really kind of an interesting song because that Blame It on Monday song was written by the late Farron Johns. Mm-hmm. And the track that you played for them was the local anthem. Captured kind of a blue-collar Six Nations spirit. Hard work, hard playing, and a deep sense of community. That's mm-hmm. really neat. That you got me. First, you got me with Stomp Dance earlier, and now that one is takes me in a different direction. So really, I like that. Next person up, Murray Porter. Actually,
yeah. The piano man, apparently.
Uh huh.
Now I'm going to tell you this one, Doug. I happened to watch on YouTube a video. They said, oh, Murray Porter, and I thought, well, I better click on that and see what that's all about. And there was Murray Porter. It was just him and a piano.
Oh, I don't recall
just
him and a piano.
Just him and a piano. I have another story about Murray Porter, but we'll play it up. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about it after a while. But anyways, Murray Porter actually got his start with the Bar Road Band. Before carving out a solo career that made him a Juno-winning household name. So Murray himself is a self-taught master of the Aboriginal blues, or First Nations blues, or Six Nations blues, really.
Yes.
And his album, 1995, 1492, Who Found Who, was a landmark release. It wasn't just music. It was a history lesson delivered through a boogie-woogie piano. He's spent decades mentoring younger artists on the res, ensuring the Grand River soul will never fade.
Okay, I love this song myself, partly because of the teacher in me coming out, because there are so many things in here that I listen to, and it's not just once. You need to hear it several times over.
Mm.
We'll play it once, though.
Great song, yeah.
1492. Who found who?
Yes.
Back in Spain 500 years ago, old Chris Columbus lived. Told him the queen so much she finally said, okay, I'll give you 3 ships and some mail. He said, I'll find a brand new route to India. Queen, I soon be home again. Who
Well, that was, you know, it's something that I really loved. I told you that, 1492 Who Found Who song. And Murray often tells the story of how he wrote this after being questioned about his identity at the border. I wonder what border it was. Do you remember this story?
No, I don't remember this story, but I have a story of my own.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so in my other life as an employee of the First Nations Technical Institute, we used to have to go and, I wouldn't say have to go, we were able to go, maybe we should say it better. We were able to go to the powwow, the Toronto powwow, the Sky Dome powwow.
Right.
And it was a big deal. They don't do it at all, much or at all anymore. I'm not sure why. I guess it's possibly due to funding. But it was huge, and there was so many First Nations all under the dome, all under the Sky Dome. In any case, we were setting up, and you could drive down, I guess, underneath the where you sit.
Mm-hmm.
In the, so... We were driving to, I don't know, park the car or something. We had set up our booth. We were talking about programs, whatnot, promoting First Nations Technical Institute. And so we're driving to get out. Maybe we're trying that side. I'm not even sure. Anyways, we happened upon this guy, and... he was carrying this big long bag, and like, oh, geez, he looks tired. We slowed down and stopped, and we asked him if he wanted a ride, and he said, "Oh yeah, I would." He jumped in. He's like, "Oh, how about where are you guys from?" And we said, "Well, we're from Tynanega." "Oh yeah." I said, "Oh, how about you? Where are you from?" And he says, "Oh, I'm from Six Nations." I said, "Oh, yeah, well, cool. Well, now what's your name?" And he says, "Oh, I'm Murray Porter." Oh, okay. So that's my name.
You're so glad you picked him up and gave him a ride. Yeah.
I was the guy who gave Murray Porter a ride. He says, "Yeah, I had to park way down there," and it's like, it's a long way for...
Was he carrying the bag with his piano in it?
Yeah, he was playing. Well, yeah, it ended up being a like an electric piano.
Right.
That, you have a bag. It's a form bag for with handles.
I can picture it.
And, so he said, "Oh, yeah, we're gonna do a show. You should come." I said, "Oh, okay."
"Can I bring my recorder?" Oh, nice. Yeah. That's
so
a good one.
Anyways, that was my little claim to fame.
Well, you mentioned earlier that Murray Porter's the soul of Six Nations music.
I don't know if that was Six Nations. I think it was the Poppy John's band was the soul.
Oh.
Anyways, it doesn't matter.
But, but Derek Miller's your next one, the guitar slinger.
Derek is incredible.
Their contrast, Murray Porter with being the soul of the First Nations music, and Derek Miller's is the fire.
The fire, the rhythm, the blues. He's an incredible guitar player.
Yeah.
And, he can just make that thing do, unspeakable things. He's a two-time Juno winner, and his journey has taken him from the Shwegan Speedway. This was a new fact for me, but he also drives a race car at.
Oh, is that right?
The Speedway there, yeah.
Ah, now there's the new one for me. I thought he was always just in the music world.
No. I forget the class that he drives, but I want to say they're called mini racers, but it's mini modified. I don't know. I don't know what they're called.
So he's going Speedway.
They're the ones with the big wings that are sort of vertical and back and forth. They go in one direction.
Like Formula
One? I don't think that they... No. Not that kind.
Oh.
It's a wing. It is... it's on top of the car.
Oh, okay.
Gosh, I can't remember the name of it. But anyways, he does drive those. And I think, from what I understand, they may not have brakes.
That's why they hope they have an oval and they can get around
it. Maybe transmission. Maybe they don't have a transmission. I don't know. Mm. Anyways, apparently you don't just start like you would in a transmission in first gear. It's just it goes. You turn it on and it goes.
Well, I remember you had invited me to Tandanega for music night.
Yeah.
That's where I met Keith Cicola and I, a number of other people that you introduced me to. They're musicians.
Yeah, I think Lucy Illa was there.
Yeah, yeah. But Keith Cicola got up and he started his song Indian Car. And he wanted people to get up and do a round dance with it, right? And he just wanted people to get up and move, you know. And people were sort of getting started. But Keith Cicola put his guitar down as Derek Miller started to kind of play for him to keep the music going. And Derek Miller changed it to his style. Keith Cicola, he got everybody, including you and me, because we were recording this darn thing. And here he is, got us out there, and it was so much fun. Like the community dancing together was just so much fun. And Derek Miller did that. And then we had to kind of stop moving, but then Derek Miller came out and played his features. So what song did you get for
him? I seem to remember Keith Cicola starting, and then, Derek Miller jumped up there and showed him how it was done.
Yeah, but that's because Keith Cicola wanted the people to dance, and he led them.
No. You're entirely different. But you don't know what went on. He jumped up there and they had like a bit of a duel. I remember, super entertaining to see these people that know how to play their instruments and know how to fight with them.
Well, he is an activist.
Yeah. So who?
Derek Miller.
I don't think so.
No.
Anyways,
okay.
So Derek's big break came when he was just a teenager, and he was hired to play the guitar for legendary Buffy St. Marie. And he also took everything he learned from her about activism and combined it with raw rock and roll energy he found in local Six Nations garages. So, hey. We've got this song coming up, and you take a listen, and we'll let you know what it is after.
Gotta move.
Well, Sean, you know, our next song that we're going to talk about is a song that's, well, quite interesting, kind of like what you said earlier about history and bringing history into the songs. 6 Miles is the title, and it's by Logan Statz. You know, and he wrote this song during a period of intense reflection, and, you know, there were a lot of troubles in the community down around Six Nations, Caledonia, Hagersville, you know, not just there, but all around Oswegan into Brantford. And so Logan decided he was going to take some time to find out about the 6 Miles as a title. And it's really a direct reference to the Haldimand Track, the land promised to the Six Nations in 1784. Now, if people don't understand, the Grand River empties out into Lake Erie, and from there, the Grand River goes all the way up the Niagara Escarpment to the head of the escarpment, almost to Georgian Bay. So, 6 miles on either side of the Grand River was the Haldimand Track. That was to be Six Nations territory. And that's it. Today, what's left of it is, you know, like the town of Brantford's in it, the town of Paris is in it, it goes right up into towards Guelph, a little north of that, Kitchener, and then right up into the escarpment itself. So if you want to go and learn about it, go, and this is what Logan did, he spent some time kind of looking at this, what happened to the land, but look on a map that was before 1784 to see how far the Grand River went. Mm. Anyway, but the song 6 Miles has become an anthem for land defenders at Landback Lane, and that's in a little town of Caledonia, very close to where I grew up as a young guy. My parents moved away when just after I turned 15. And then I ended up going off and playing hockey all over the place. But so I traveled a lot. But Caledonia was pretty good. Mount Hope was a little town near us, and then there's Caledonia and Hagersville and those places. But he proved that the music of the Six Nations is still a tool for social change in 2026. 6 Miles by Logan Statz.
Our people will not be defined by our traumas. The connection that we had to these lands and waters and, of course, to each other is far greater than anything that they can do to us. They've tried to beat it out of us. They've tried to over-incarcerate us, residential school it out of us. But it remains. Land back is an invitation. An invitation to those that have been lost. All the brothers and sisters that have been stolen from our nations. And there are many that we are calling home. For us, we've been fighting for land back since contact. Our fight here in Six Nations has been about our 6 miles on each side of that Grand River. And now, that 6 miles, well, that was just the beginning.
all back, just take it away. Don't you take it away, give it all back. Give it all back, just take it away. Don't you take it away.
Doug, that was Logan Stotts with his six miles?
6 miles, yeah.
Yeah, 6 miles tune that he wrote back in the day. There you go, from Robbie's global reach to Logan's grassroots activism. The music of Six Nations is a living, breathing history of the Haudenosaunee people. So that's cool. I hope you all had a good time listening to this.
Well, Sean, we're going to end with Robbie Robertson's song, Making a Noise.
All right, good.
Loose an eagle feather. The drums stop. to silence that frightens white men.
Making a noise in this world. Making a noise in this world. You can bet your ass I won't go quietly. Making a noise in this world.
Everybody, my name is Vicki Cummings. My grandson is Harley Kohler. Hi, Harley. Surprise, surprise. Today I'm going to read you a legend. I don't have a book to read it from, but it is a Native American legend. It's called The Legend of How the Bear Lost His Tail. Do you know why a bear has a short tail and why sometimes he can be heard growling in the woods for what seems like no particular reason at all? In the beginning, Bear had a long, bushy tail, which he was quite proud of. Bear loved to show off his tail to all the other animals, including Fox. Well, now, Fox loved to play tricks, because that's how foxes are. They're pretty sly and tricky. And one day, he decided to have some fun with Bear. In the winter, the lake had frozen over like it is now, and Fox knew the path that Bear took down by the lake and decided to lure Bear in with some fish. Fox cut a hole in the ice like you would do for ice fishing, and he stacked as many fish as he could next to it. Fox knew Bear loved to eat fish, but so did Fox. Fox didn't want Bear to fish in his spot, so fearing that Bear would eat all the fish up, he decided to play this trick. So when Bear saw that all that fish stacked into a pile next to the hole, he got all excited. He asked Fox to teach him how to catch that many fish. Bear swore he would do everything that the fox had told him because he wanted just as much fish as Fox had. So Fox took the bear to another spot on the lake and cut a hole in the ice. Fox turned to the bear and said to him, "You must put your beautiful bushy tail down into that water to enable to catch the fish." So Fox told Bear he must sit very, very still and very, very quiet, and he shouldn't think of anything at all, just peace and quiet, because the fish could read your thoughts. And then Fox trotted off into the woods in the bushes, and he told Bear, "Now don't you move till I tell you to." And so Fox, being the trickster that he was, started laughing at the bear because he thought the bear was just foolish to sit with this beautiful tail in this fishing hole. Bear did what he was told, and he did not move, and he did not think any thoughts. Fox watched the bear sitting so still. He was laughing and laughing and rolling around on the ground, and soon Fox grew tired of watching the bear. So he went home. The next morning, Fox went back to the lake wondering if Bear had gone home. And it snowed during the night, so when he got out on the lake, he saw this big mound, and there was snow covered over it next to the hole, and he realized the bear was still there, and he still had his tail in the hole. Fox looked at him and he goes, "Now, Bear, now." So the bear jumps up and, oh, he heard this crack and, oh, that really hurt. And his tail was frozen in the hole and it ripped off. And he lost this big, beautiful tail. His beautiful tail was still stuck in this hole. Oh, the bear moaned and he groaned and he was in a lot of pain. And Fox thought it was just hilarious. Well, Bear was not happy and Bear gave out a big growl. And now, when you hear bears growling in the woods, you know why. Because the bear is mad because he still has that short tail. He doesn't have that big, beautiful, bushy tail anymore. That darn fox, he played an awful trick on Bear, didn't he? Yeah, that was kind of mean. Well, I hope you enjoyed the story. Talk to you later. Bye, Harley.
I am lost. A great mystery created the universe and manifested a blue geosphere, a radiant planet, the marvelous Earth, the mother who gave us birth, the genesis of all we hold dear. With all the billions of stars in space, only the Earth could create the perfect human birthing place. A little sphere of cosmic dust was the spark of spirit given to us. In all the years of her existence, with benevolence and generosity, she provided for our subsistence and never needed our assistance. But now the world is in distress due to unrestrained excess. Nature reveals that true progress is possessed by every plant and tree that echoes every breath we breathe in a symbiotic symphony of connected sustainability. In the present tsunami of climate change, the Earth may never be the same. With 8 billion people and mouths to feed, the fires are burning, there's less air to breathe. We must conserve and preserve our rivers and forestry to ensure our own continuity. We must activate, contemplate, and regenerate the life and abundance of our birthplace. We don't choose where we are born. We are the outcome of a cosmic storm. Our journey is to search and find the natural order of the divine. Joy and enlightenment is the gift this wisdom brings. Adore and cherish all living things. Acknowledge the cradle of our precious birth and our relationship with our mother, the sacred Earth.